Send a movie idea.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, are you ready? Do you feel in the mindset?
No, because
in the vibe space,
I don't really feel. I'm not sure I'll get into the mind space in the next half hour, Joel, as a result of general world events and no sleep. But we'll make it work.
Okay, let's make it work. In 3, 2, 1. Hello, and welcome to The Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here at The Dream Factory are very simple. We can discuss as many of your movie ideas as we like, usually then an idea of ours each, but only one of those ideas can be taken to the next stage. And it's a special prize this week, John, because the winner will actually be given the opportunity to travel back in time to the late 90s and choose a new favourite children's author. What an honour that'll be. I'm Joel, a man who puts the boo in Facebook, you bastard. Stop not censoring things. I don't really know. Start censoring things. And across from me is John Harris, a man who had his first caffeinated drink yesterday in like 6 months and hasn't slept a second since. John, you look wired.
I can't.
How are you feeling?
I'm actually shattered because I didn't sleep last night because I had one coffee.
Did you get the shakes?
No. To be fair, right. So this is quite boring, so I will try and be quick. I went I walked past the cafe and I so desperately wanted a coffee that I said out loud to my girlfriend, if they don't have decaf, I'm going to get a coffee just because I wanted one so bad.
Wowee.
And yeah, I must have tempted fate by saying that, and then they didn't have I could feel my heart pounding a little bit more later that evening, and I honestly didn't sleep a wink. But then also, that could also be something because I was like super anxious about something that happened on Twitter that we can talk about after the episode is finished. I think we'll save that for later.
What a weekend it's been for John Harris. You've had this is normally like 6 months worth of events that in your life that have happened in the last 24 hours.
I've aged so many years. Awful.
Hey, let's talk about film ideas. How about this one from Jim? I know what you did last summer. A group of friends chat over Zoom about when they were allowed to go outside last year.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, I thought it is quite sad, but maybe there's like a dark twist. You know, like there's those films, obviously you and I have never seen them because we're too afraid of horror films, and we've been afraid of horror films on podcasts before it was cool to do a podcast about being afraid of horror films.
Yeah.
You know, like there's ones obviously there's a meeting somewhere where they go, let's make some modern technology scary.
Yeah,
let's do one about a killer app. Or Skype being evil, you know?
Yeah.
I watched that one about the app that counts down to your death. Do you remember that?
No, it sounds like an episode.
It's like last year or something. Yeah, it's like last year, but it, like way more knockabout and stupid. It's like, it came out last year. Basically, you download an app and it says, you're going to die in a week. And then you do, and there's something like the Grim Reaper comes to get you at that point. So this could be another one of those, like how maybe someone takes over Zoom. Maybe Zoom's being run by somebody evil.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by this app film. So, because that like,
yeah, the problem is, John, it's a real film.
Yeah, well, no. My question is, surely that like, kind of the idea of fate and destiny and all that stuff gets so tangled up with the idea then for all of those murder, all of those deaths to have happened as predicted by the app has to exist because the way that they acted would have been as a result of the app telling them that they were going to die in a week, right?
Yeah, actually, to be fair, what the film does really cleverly with those issues is not address them at all. It's really good what they've done, actually, because, like you say, there's lots going on there. And if you sort of think about it for a second, it all falls apart. But really cleverly, when making the film, they didn't think about it for a second. Nobody on that crew was allowed to question the app. It also comes from quite a strong lineage of films that essentially Carl Pilkington pitched back when he did a radio show on XFM. He like said a whole thing about a watch that counts down to when you die. And there's that Black Mirror episode which is like a whole Carl Pilkington film pitch.
Yeah.
It's all very strange.
Yeah, particularly in the world of science, particularly in the world of horror and science fiction, that it is like you are millimeters away from a brilliant and stupid idea at any one moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get that. I think the Zoom thing, yeah, and it could be fun because like someone could start sharing their screen and look at photos from the summer before, and then they start seeing
and there's
figures
something in
the background or something that they didn't see.
Shit,
at the time.
That's great. So I'm into that.
So there's definitely some fun to be had, and yeah, we could do it so it's all displayed as a Zoom, like you know, literally what we're doing right now. But we could also just make it a normal budget film. Although then that would be even weirder because then there would just be cameras watching people on their laptops. It's probably better on the
screen. Hey, what about this though? One of the friends joins the chat and they've got like some sort of horrific scene behind them and everyone's like, ha ha, great virtual background. And then the person's like, well, what do you mean? What's a virtual background? And they look around and there's something, you know, some scariness going on.
That's good. I like that a lot.
Pretty contemporary stuff. And what's good is also that it would only take us probably 18 months, 24 months to get this film sort of anywhere near made. at which point everyone will still very much remember the trials and tribulations of Zoom calls.
Oh, man. Pop culture and film depicting what is happening right now in the next years is going to be so peculiar, I think.
Yeah. And impossible to, like, distill into any sort of sense, right? You'd have to just pick elements.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah, the world is a mess. You know, there's, like, I've seen hundreds of people tweet at this, so this is not an original John Ford, but the idea that, yeah, the writers working on 2020 are, you know, taking the piss a bit. They really jumped the shark with this year.
Yeah.
Well, on the subject of keeping things contemporary, what about this one from Lem? Freaky Friday, but for anyone who tweets All Lives Matter, when they wake up the next day, they find themselves not only black, but transported 400 years into the past.
That's good. That's good. It's about time that hashtags had some sort of real world consequences. I'm well into that. That's really good.
Oh, so they all do.
That's such a good idea.
Oh, it's not just the tale of one person.
But then you're speaking of like unpicking things. Then you're like, you rewrite history, right? I wonder, do they go back in time with all their own thoughts? They must do. Yeah, otherwise it's not really a punishment.
Yeah, and then they would be aware of...
But then the present day, would it change? Wow, this isn't really Dream Factory material.
Yes. Yeah, there's a part of the issue is, yeah, you're right. They would get there and then they'd be like... The history books would be like, 400 years ago, these random people started talking about hashtags. The other issue I have with this film is I'd like to have an empathetic protagonist, and I'm not sure we can do that.
Or maybe someone accidentally tweets it.
Yeah, well.
So they go back with a load of really awful, awful people, but somebody just had like a... autocorrect or something happened to them,
or they were like,
you know, they were doing like a sarcastic thing,
yeah, or just saying, if you're tweeting this is why you're wrong. But that's hashtags don't understand these things, so they would just take everyone back. That's the problem with the hashtag.
It is
the great equalizer, they call it. What about this one from Matthew? Jurassic Pork. I feel like, have we had a Jurassic Pork before? It feels like something we should have done.
Jurassic Park. I don't think we have.
We had Jurassic Park a long time ago for cats, but we haven't had big pigs. Or, if we want to keep it topical again, Joel, big police people.
Hey, so it's 10 years in the future and the police have been totally defunded. No, it's more than 10 years. It's 50 years in the future. So there's a new generation of people that have never really been exposed to the police because they've been entirely defunded. And so somebody sets up a theme park, a police-themed theme park, so that we can all remember this ancient world where police roamed the streets and they get out of control.
When they go back onto the
streets. There's like a riot shield, you know, frozen in amber, and they recreate police. And they're quite, in the park, initially the police are quite well sort of kettled into one area, but eventually they break free and start behaving awfully.
Wow.
I can't believe how political we are this week.
About time.
Hey, how about this not political one from Ben? The Molar Express. I don't know, a dentist on a train.
I honestly can't. I can't work out how.
Make that topical. Make that topical. Like, the trains aren't even fucking running.
Yeah, you could only,
let alone with a dentist on them.
You're only just allowed to start going to dentists again recently. Yeah, I don't know how we go from the last 8 minutes to talking about a dentist on a train. Maybe the train is like Snowpiercer, so it's all an allegory for class. And there we're back to relatively.
Oh bloody hell, John! What sort of... What's your agenda?
Is Tom Hanks the dentist, and is it that weird CGI that makes him look uncanny?
Is Tom Hanks the dentist?
He's the tooth.
He's the talking tooth that gets taken out.
It's a Pixar film.
Tom Hanks couldn't be a dentist, I don't think. You need a bit of, pardon the pun, but you need a bit of bite too if you're going to be a dentist. Like you have to be prepared to tell people off, don't you?
Yeah. And also just like part of being a dentist, obviously for the greater good, is to inflict pain on people. And I'm not sure.
Yeah. Here's something I've always wondered. I saw it on Reddit the other day, and everyone will have this thought. You're going to see the dentist, right? You book your appointment. You think to yourself, how much flossing and cleaning do I need to do to make it look like I've always done this? Right? That's fair. I think everyone does that, you know. And apparently, just flossing twice a day for 2 weeks will convince most dentists that you're a regular flosser.
You said that like you were the end of a Colgate advert.
Yeah, 3 out of 4 dentists can't tell the difference between a fortnight of flossing and a lifetime. No, it's just good to know, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, flossing is so much effort. I've been tempted to buy one of those water flossers where...
Oh, John, I think about those all the time. Are they good?
I don't know. Maybe before next week's episode, we'll both buy
but then
one.
At what point are you just like, is your bathroom just becoming like a hygienist room? How many bits of kit are they going to be on charge at any one time in my bathroom?
Yeah, I'm gonna have like, and I'm also going to have the tiny little plastic cup of that weird dry mouthwash with a little spit bar.
Oh no, that is delicious though, to be fair. you never, ever, ever see the bottle that comes from. Ever, 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 ever. Never, ever, ever. There is no one listening to this podcast that has ever, ever seen the bottle that mouthwash comes out of, have they?
No, it's true.
No,
what is it?
Think about the times you've been to the dentist in your lifetime. It's always in the cup ready. They will not let you into the room. They will not let you into the room before wherever that liquid comes from has come from there and gone into the cup, and wherever the liquid is stored, shut away. You will you can't ask for a top up because you never need more than there is. It's already too much, and you already feel like the pressure to have all of it, and also it's. I really hate that bit. That's the worst bit of the dentist, when they just sit you back up and everyone just sits there while they wait for you to just slosh it around your mouth and just do a really half-ass spit. And the sink's always so small and at such an unusual angle, isn't it? Because you only ever spit into a sink front on. Like, you're in front of the sink, you spit. But at the dentist, it's kind of like the sink's normally sort of at your left arm. It's a really unnatural way to spit. You have to sort of swivel on an axis to spit there. And the sink's so small. I hate the whole bit, the whole spitting bit.
It's also like, whatever mouthwash it is, it's like, you know how like cranberry makes your mouth drier? It's like more than that. It's like, what is happening to my mouth when I have that stuff?
Yeah, I'm suggesting that it's not mouthwash and that it's something else going on there.
I think so.
I'm getting quite Alex Jones on InfoWars about what they're putting in that mouthwash.
You're talking about the angle of spit. Do you think those like stereotypical Southern Americans who like spit at tins could do it really well from the other side of the room?
Yeah, they could. What they'd do is they'd put it in the mouth and rinse it out, and they'd start walking out, and the dentist would go, "Wait, you haven't?" And they go, straight the other side. It would fly over the dentist's head and into the. And it, even though it's ceramic, it would make that spittoon metal ding.
Very good.
And the dentist would just applaud them and wave the charge. They'd say, "No way, no way."
What about this one from Morgan? Finally, the 13th. Spoiler: they want to die.
Good, I like it.
I feel like you know, we could make this one topical as well, because there's definitely like that nihilistic arm of social media at the minute where they're just like, finally some good news when something even more awful happens.
So
the idea of these people just like, yeah, they've put a big heart on their calendar around Friday the 13th. They're like waiting for Jason Voorhees to arrive. Maybe they put like some What would attract Jason Voorhees? Drops of blood up the stairs like rose petals?
I don't know, but I feel like this is kind of the remit of the Goths, right? They're well into this sort of stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
Goths probably look forward to Friday the 13th. They'll probably meet somewhere. Have you got any Goths near you?
No, is there?
We've got a little bit of wood near us where you see some Goths from time to time.
Really?
Yeah. Very good. Not recently.
No.
But in better times, there's Goths, yeah.
That's good. It's nice. You know, there's few like...
Hey, I've got a lot of love for the Goths.
Oh, yeah. Goths and metalers are kind of the two like musical scenes that I think you still see people dress and like live that life in a way that
yeah.
I don't think you see that for other people. Like when I was a teenager, if you're an indie kid, you'd probably have a tweed jacket. If you, I don't know, if you're into other genres, you had like, there was a uniform. Whereas now,
yeah,
everyone dresses the same. What? Oh God, I sound like an old man. Shut up. What about this one from Bark D? Limited, a pill that makes you 100% dumber. Plot twist is it's being disseminated via Facebook.
Oh, very good. Very good. I've not seen Unlimited, have you?
Yeah, it's fun. It's like mad fun about a guy who takes his pill that makes... You know, the pseudoscience thing that it's like, you're actually only using 10% of your brain. Imagine if you used 100.
Yeah. That film must have been so easy to pitch.
Yeah.
They would have gone, you know that thing about how you don't use all of your brain? Bradley Cooper's going to use all of his brain.
Robert De Niro shows up as well.
Does he?
Yeah, Bobby D.
How much of his brain is he using?
63%. They've got badges that say how much of the brain is being used.
Yeah, that's what I'd like. That's what I'd like. Although I wouldn't like it unless mine was very high. I sometimes worry that mine would be like 3% or something.
What if it's a little brain? What if you've got a little brain and you're using all of it, or you've got an enormous brain and you're using like none of it?
Is that a thing?
No, I think the size of your brain doesn't have much to do with your intelligence. Although, actually, riddle me this. I was thinking this. I think this quite a lot. When you see a massive dog and a tiny dog, are you going to tell me that they have the same intelligence?
I think this about animals quite a lot as well. But I don't... But how do you measure a dog's intelligence?
Well, yeah. And for the record, I'm actually scared that by saying that, obviously, for the record, hello, my name's John. I'm an idiot. I'm not trying to get into some sort of weird animal eugenics here. I'm just asking whether like a chihuahua...
Aren't you John?
Whether a chihuahua...
Because I still read your blog.
I just wonder whether a chihuahua and a St. Bernard have the same level of intelligence. The brain must be like the difference between like an acorn and a melon, right?
I don't think that any dog's got a melon-sized brain.
A small grapefruit?
Yeah, maybe. See? Maybe a little grapefruit. That is a good question.
Sometimes I'm glad I asked you.
If the brains are the same size, just in bigger casing. But what are they... John, what do they need to think about? What do they need to think about? How much intelligence does a dog need?
Yeah. Yeah, and like when people are like, oh, this dog's so intelligent, look at it run around some sheep.
But then you don't see like Chihuahua police dogs, right? And is that because, does a police dog have to be threatening? Or does it just have to be able to sniff drugs and bombs?
I don't know, you're right. Imagine, yeah, if we put out the word that Chihuahuas are actually the best at sniffing for drugs... The police aren't suddenly going to start having chihuahuas at airports, are they?
No, but I feel like airport security would be up for that.
Maybe.
Everyone, yeah, a little chihuahua in a bag, just having a sniff. And you could quite easily conceal, well, it's probably cruel, but you could conceal it somewhere so that it was just sniffing for drugs all the time. And people were thinking, there's no dogs here. And a little chihuahua jumps out at you. That's ravaging your ankles.
And it could go through the hold all pretty quickly as well.
Oh, yeah. You just drop it in the holdall until it emerged with a bag of drugs in its mouth.
Oh, poor chihuahuas.
Good stuff, that.
It's anti-chihuahua propaganda, that.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what about this one from Mark? Vera Drake, starring the rapper Drake. I thought it was good, but I've looked up Vera Drake and it's a pretty harrowing drama. I don't really think Drake can bring much to the role. I just don't think he can. It's the 1950s. Vera Drake's a woman doing illegal abortions.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
featuring the rapper Drake.
Man, it's been a weird episode. I hope everyone's okay.
It's been one of the weirder episodes, isn't it? But I think it's just a reflection of how weird the world is.
That's true.
Hey, John, should we move on to our own ideas?
Yes, please.
Here's mine from me. The Constant Gardener. Alan Titchmarsh can't pick weeds quick enough. He's in a garden and he'll never, ever finish gardening it.
I like the way you've gone, but Alan Titchmarsh, it could be like a speed crossover and he can't stop gardening or he'll blow up. There's a bomb attached to it.
But he has to just keep finding gardens to garden.
He's sprinting from garden to garden.
And I think, weirdly, it's also quite topical because people are doing a lot of gardening right now.
Very true.
So there's constant gardeners out everywhere. I wish I had some sort of garden to garden.
Oh, I wish I had any outdoor space, mate. You got a little balcony.
A little balcony, but there's minimal gardening can be done there. It's made entirely out of wood.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so Titchmarsh has to garden forever.
Fine.
Or else he'll explode.
Perfect.
Even when he's going to the toilet or eating, he's got like a little bonsai tree he's trimming. What's your idea, John?
My idea from me is Donald Trump bunker investigator. Now, I don't know if you've seen the news this week, but he went down into his bunker because he was
just having a look. He was just having a little look at the bunker. I can't believe it's taken him nearly 4 years.
He said he's been there down there 2.5 times. I don't know what the half trip was. Did he just pop his head down?
Look, riddle me this. You become US president. How quickly are you asking to see the secret bunker?
Oh, I think, yeah, I'd be like, maybe not the secret bunker, but yeah, first day I'd definitely be like, aliens, talk to me.
Oh, yeah, first day I'd be like, what are all the secrets? First day, as soon as I've been sworn in, I mean, who do you ask? That's what I want to know. Tell me, what are all the secrets? Tell me every secret. Take me to the bunker. That's lunch. Do some presidential stuff after that, probably.
Put a statue of me over here.
Yeah. Oh, it's easy.
It could be like Donald Trump gets a penchant for investigating bunkers of people who believe that they're haunted.
Yeah. But I would rather be visited by ghosts than... It's not... I don't really see how you win in this situation.
Good point. So he keeps...
Oh, no, my bunker's haunted. I better get Donald Trump out.
Yeah, it's every time he visits, they're like, oh, it's... Do you know what? It's fire with fire. Do you know what? We're fine with the ghost. Thank you very much. Look, after his time as president, I wouldn't put it past him. He's got to get a new reality show out there. Why not investigate some bunkers?
Yeah, and maybe get locked in one forever.
Yeah, good point.
Hey, that's been the weirdest episode of the Dream Factory ever. I've been Joel. You've been John. There's two constants in our life. Thanks very much for listening. John, thank you for speaking.
Thank you for letting me speak.
And thank you for listening. No worries. Good that I talked over you as you said that. If you like the show, give it a subscribe, rate, review, do all those things. Send us film ideas, please. God, did you hear some of the rubbish we had today? Christ. We'll literally say anything. The Molar Express. We got 3 minutes out of the Molar Express. That's probably the best bit of the show. So don't think your idea is... If you're thinking about sending an idea and you think, this is rubbish, it's not. Well, it might be, but we'll use it. Anyway, more from us after this. Well done, John.
How was your weekend?
Good stuff. Good, thank you. I went to the protests yesterday.
Guess who also went to the protest yesterday?
Who?
John Harris.
Shout out, John Harris. Solidarity. Good stuff.
Yeah, the Guardian writer John Harris went there. No. Yeah. I took a little... Did you walk? I walked the whole way.
Walked. Yeah, walked. That's funny because we walked sort of via Old Street, so probably went too far from you.
But yeah, I left before any of the weird horse stuff happened, but...
Yeah, so did we. We were there. We got there sort of just before one, and we're probably there till about four-ish.
The atmosphere was so good, and it's a shame that...
I found it really, really moving quite a lot of the time, and yeah, I thought it felt really powerful. It felt really important. My fears about distancing and stuff sort of eased, which is probably not good, but we wore masks and kept our distance and, you know, tried to do all the right things, but it felt very powerful, and I was super, super moved a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It was really, like, the atmosphere was absolutely amazing.
You watching or consuming anything good, anything to report?
We're re-watching Flight of the Conchords.
Oh. It's nice.
It's great.
Sometimes it's nice to...
Yeah, it's so good.
It's like a blanket, a comfortable blanket.
And Space Force has got better. And now it's just fine.
Ooh! Wow, very exciting, mate.
Six episodes in, it's fine. I think I just like being in the company of Steve Carell and John Malkovich, and, you know.
Yeah, that's...
There's something about just seeing those people on screen in things you haven't seen them in before, which is probably really rubbish, isn't it? But hey-ho.
Queer Eye's back.
How about you? Yeah, I've never really watched Queer Eye, and I feel like I definitely should.
You should watch it. It's...
But
It's not perfect, but it's much better than I am as a person. And after the march, it's a real, like, every episode has a real cry moment, and I'm not really a big cry person, but, you know, yesterday was a big emotional day, and the first episode of the most recent series is very moving, and
Okay. They
are a light in this world.
They are. Hey, John, what about the tweet you did?
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Everyone's desperate to hear about.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So, last night it was odd because about a month ago my friend told me a thing, and I was talking to you about it yesterday morning about the fact that in 1976 Rock Against Racism was established partly in response to a genuinely, like, abhorrent speech that Eric Clapton made on stage, like really, really awful. And so then it was just odd last night after everything that was happening. There was an Eric Clapton documentary on BBC 2 prime time. And I just thought, well, I should probably put out this fact that I only recently found out because I didn't know about it till about a month ago. Mm. And it just kind of picked up. Like, I didn't see anyone specifically noteworthy retweet it, but it just seemed to, like, get loads and loads of traction. Like, it's not like gone viral, but it's got, like, you know, well over 1,000 likes and a bunch of comments and retweets and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it just made me incredibly anxious, and there wasn't even that much, like, that I did, you know, there was a few people being like, oh, but you know, forgive and forget, or like, oh, it was a long time ago, blah blah blah. But
yeah, or what about another person who said something bad?
Yeah,
which is the classic. Yeah,
yeah. And like, it was all like, so nothing like particularly trolling, no one was like coming for me or like, you know, saying anything
bad.
But it still made me incredibly anxious, like, so you know, I've always had respect for people who use Twitter for good and have to deal with that shit. But, like, it did give me, like, an extra level of newfound respect, considering I had... Me, as a white man on Twitter, had some people disagree with me, and I nearly lost all of my night's sleep over it. So, yeah, the idea of those people are genuinely heroes in my eyes. Also, this... I have to, like, caveat this massively, because I'm actually fairly certain it isn't the case. But there was a long period of time where me and Dan, the person who told me that piece of information a month ago, were convinced that one of the commenters was a burner account for Eric Clapton. Because he spent, this guy spent the whole evening just responding no and you're wrong about anyone claiming any sort of racism against Eric Clapton.
I think it could be Clapton. That would be interesting. But people sometimes feel real ownership and they don't like, if you really, really love something or someone, the idea that it couldn't, you know, that it's flawless. It's quite difficult, isn't it, to face up to your idols being flawed, I think.
Yeah.
And the only good thing is that I don't think anyone under 50 gives a fuck about Eric Clapton anyway. And so,
yeah, that's true.
I think, like, you know, I did know that about Eric Clapton, but I just think here it doesn't really enter my thoughts, or, you know, I don't really listen to Eric Clapton music, or I don't consider him like a big part of my musical life. So fuck him, mate. I don't care. And also, like, hasn't the excuse been used that he was like on, you know, he was like an alcoholic and on drugs at the time and stuff?
It's
like, well, who wasn't in the 70s making music?
Yeah, and you know, I'm not a big drug boy, but I've been very drunk, and when I've been very drunk, maybe I've made a poor taste joke or said something stupid, but I haven't gone on stage where I'm still sober enough to play guitar and perform a whole gig and do an actually, like, hateful speech. Like,
There's been very few charities formed in response to your drunk jokes.
They're mostly poor puns, so the charities...
Yeah, no more poor puns.
But you're right, I have done... Going to the march, having that weird tweet happen, drinking my first coffee in 6 weeks... I've lived an entire life in one day, and now I'm going to probably hide away for another month.
Go and have a lie down, mate.
I'm exhausted.
Do it.
All right.
Bye.
Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.